Hello. This is a meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee for Monday night, July 8th, 2019. My name is Alex Steinberg. I'm the chair of the committee. And we need to start with a roll call. And does anybody want to volunteer to do the roll since we don't have a secretary of this committee yet? Okay, if not, I will do it. Okay, Alex Steinberg, that's me. I'm present. Donald Goldmacher?
Present.
Bill Crozier?
Here.
Sabrina Jacobs?
Here.
Okay. Grace Aaron? Okay. Not present. Robin Collier?
I'm here.
Gary Bost. Okay, not present. Who else do we have? Oh, yeah, Nancy Sorden. She's indicated she will not be making the meeting tonight. Okay, not present. Let's see, is there anybody I'm missing? Oh, Mansoor Sabag. Okay, he's not here either. So we have one, two, three, four. Actually, I think we need one more for a quorum. I'm counting. I'm counting four present, and I think we need five for a quorum.
You have at least five people present.
Yeah. Alex, Bill, Sabrina, Donald, Robin.
Okay, yeah, okay. I forgot somebody when I was counting. All right, we have a quorum then. Sorry about that. That's what happens when I'm trying to be a chair and do the roll call at the same time. Okay, so I sent out a draft agenda. And shall I read the draft agenda for the benefit of the listening audience and those of you who have maybe not seen it as yet?
Okay.
First item is roll call, 2 minutes. Second item is selection of secretary pro tem, 5 minutes. Item 3 is minutes approval, 5 minutes. Item 4 is begin discussion of financial recovery plan, 60 minutes. Item 5, I'm scheduling a vote to go into executive session to discuss an important legal and personnel matter. And that should happen no later than 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And we adjourn no later than 10:30 p.m. That's the draft agenda. Are there any amendments or objections or does anybody want to move to adopt the agenda?
I'll move
to adopt the agenda, Sabrina.
Okay. Are there any objections or amendments? Agenda is adopted. Okay, we need a volunteer to be the secretary pro tem for this meeting. There is absolutely no way I can do that and chair it at the same time. So I need a volunteer. Going once, going twice.
Go ahead and give it a try, Alex. I'll do my best.
Okay, Sabrina, right. You're it. Thank you.
Okay.
Greatly appreciated.
No problem.
Okay. All right. Item number three is minutes approval. There's been an interruption since we met last time, and I frankly don't remember who volunteered to do the minutes for the last meeting. Does anybody remember that?
Oh, gosh. No.
It might have even been me, but I cannot remember.
And when was
right
it? Hope it wasn't me. When was it?
It was about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I'm afraid.
I take notes of everything. I don't think I volunteered to do minutes because the PNB minutes keep me really busy anyway.
Yeah, I understand. So nobody actually submitted minutes then, I guess.
Oh, Grace said she would do it for the first hour, according to my notes.
Okay. Well, she's not here yet. Okay, and in any case, I don't have any set of minutes that were sent, so I'll follow up on that later to see if I can figure out if it was Grace or somebody else, and see what kind of, you know, if we can get some minutes that we can vote on later. Okay, that's the best we can do with that so far. All right, then let's go on to the next item on the agenda, and that's to begin the discussion of a financial recovery plan. I sent out a couple of templates that I thought might help to get the discussion going, just to give you an idea of how this might look like. And it is getting past due time when we have to come up with a more detailed plan as to how we are going to manage our finances. And of course, we have some debt obligations we have to consider. And those are kind of very short term. There's some very short term deadlines that are coming up in some of those issues. And since we now have the audit for 2017, it should help us gauge where we're at and what we need to do to get where we need to go. So, I'd like to open up the floor for a discussion on this. Who would like to begin?
I'll go ahead and start, Alex.
Sure.
I'd like to bring to the floor the need for development on the national level. I'd started that project last year. It was subsequently tanked by the ED, Maxie Jackson, and nothing was ever done with the information that I was able to research and collect last year. So I think that should be a part of the financial recovery plan. These are people that are unsolicited, giving unsolicited donations. So they're definitely Pacificans, if you would. And we want to try to foster that as much as possible. So I think that should be a part of the financial recovery plan.
This is Donald for the stack.
Yes, Donald.
Sabrina, is there a document that you can send us referencing what you just mentioned?
I can type something up. I mean, there's nothing official that was done. Like I said, it was just completely tanked and stopped.
But I don't know what the contents are, so I don't know how to comment on it.
Sure. Yeah, I can go ahead and send something out.
Okay.
Definitely.
While we're on the call?
And take notes as well. I can give it a try. I will definitely give it a try.
Bill for the stack.
Okay. Yeah, Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I do think development's important. And, you know, we need to be doing it at each station, but also nationally. And however we can get it going, we should be looking at that. I mean, that can include things like contacting lapsed donors, major donors, people that may not even be members but might be, you know, interested in what Pacifica is doing. And if we can provide them some sort of plan, you know, partial or complete strategic plan, either way, to give them some assurance that we're, you know, we're going to be doing things right. I think we need to pursue that. And also, like, doing things like, you know, encouraging people to put...
Bill?
Bill, I think we lost you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was muted. We need to be doing more development at all our stations and nationally, and we need to be contacting MetLaps donors, major donors, potential donors, encouraging people to put us on their wills, all the kind of stuff that development people do. And we can't do it all at once, but we need to get started somewhere.
This is Donald for the stack.
Yeah, let me just say a couple of words here. If you look at the template I sent out, what I'm calling a strategic recovery plan has many, many parts to it, and it combines short-term goals with more mid-term goals and long-term goals, and the ultimate objective is to, you know, become a healthy, self-sustaining network that's growing in audience and growing in revenue. And as I said, there's many, many aspects to this, and some of those aspects involve developing our programming content, taking some initiatives in national programming. We have some suggestions for improving the governance structure, because we believe that impacts the overall performance of Pacifica. And it also includes taking initiatives in development efforts and so on. But what I'm getting at, what I'd like to do tonight, is concentrate specifically on the financial aspect of a recovery plan. In other words, what do we owe? When do we, when are these debts coming due? What do we need to accomplish financially in order for that to happen? And this is assuming that some of the other dimensions of our initiatives are underway. For instance, that we are involved in improving programming, we are involved in improving our governance structure, and so on. So let's, and we know that's not necessarily all happening the way we want it to be, but let's say that's more or less, and there are some indications that we are, you know, we are seeing some improvements in those areas, but I'd like to get some real, you know, quantitative data on exactly what we need to do and when we need to do it. So that's...
This is Donald for the stack again.
That's what I'd like to see happen. Go ahead, Donald.
Yeah, it seems to me there are four elements that we need to concentrate on the near and midterm. number one, we need to get people to learn how to do absolutely competent fund drives, pledge drives, so that people know how to pitch at each station to maximize the listenership donating. I don't know who that person is, but maybe we'll find that person pretty quickly who can really do that hands-on instructions. Number two, Bill just alluded to, we need to identify past major donors, and each station needs to start to schedule conversations with such individuals who would be willing to consider donating again to their station or to the Pacifica. Number three, we're not going to dramatically overhaul all the programming at all the stations all at once, but we have begun an initiative within the programming committee to examine the drive time programming of each station and hopefully report back and have conversations with program directors and GMs at each station to see how we can improve programming in those morning drive times, which are the critical entry point for people to learn about our stations. Number four, it seems to me we need to have somebody on the CPB funding question every day, hands-on. Somebody from the coordinating committee, one of our elected officers, needs to have day-to-day responsibility to make sure that every single station is complying with all the CPB requirements and that the network as a whole is making sure that we meet all those CPB requirements. And that should start like a month ago. I'll just stop there for starters. And if you like, I can write that up and send it to the committee right now.
Okay. Well, Donald, let me ask you a question about that. We already have someone on the staff who is responsible for compliance with CPB regulations. Do you have something else in mind?
Yes, I do have something else in mind. There's a list of about 12 or 14 requirements in order to get CPB monies restored. And somebody needs to make sure on a daily basis that the stations are at least approaching meeting those requirements. And I know we have a compliance officer. I think there's another level here involved of somebody really tracking on a daily basis what's going on, having a master grid on their computer where they can have those 12 checkpoints and how each station is matching up, and calling them, emailing them, doing whatever we need to do to make sure those requirements are happening at each station and also at the network. And if our compliance officer is ready to do that, great. Then why has it not been happening? Or has it been and I don't know about it? Or we don't know about it?
Let me just get back to another question, Donald. I think that's a wonderful idea, but wouldn't that be under the purview of management of Pacifica's executive director?
Well, I guess that begs the question then, what's our executive director been doing to make sure we're accomplishing that? And do we have a report to that effect? Is there any piece of paper that anybody can point to telling the PNB directors that this is the progress we've made thus far, and here's how much more we need to accomplish before we can actually get the funding? Full well understanding that we're not going to get any funding until these audits are done, but there's a whole host of other requirements that have to be met, including making sure that all the cabs are functioning and that cabs have reported in.
Point of information, Chair.
I think, did somebody just join us?
Sounds like they joined and then hung up.
I think Gary is on the call.
Oh, welcome, Gary. Okay.
Robin to the stack.
Yeah, can just before we move on, can somebody call Grace and ask her to join the call?
Okay.
Okay, I'll do that. This is Bill.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Robin, go ahead.
Well, I just had a point of information.
Go ahead,
I apologize, Robin. Just really quick,
sure.
Donald, because I'm taking notes here for pro tem secretary position here, there needs to be a report created and submitted. Is that on a daily basis or a monthly basis or a weekly basis? I'd assume a weekly basis, correct?
Yes, a weekly basis, summing up what progress we've made or not made.
Okay, got it. All right, thank you.
Okay. Robin?
Yeah, well, I thought that Grace was working with John Kreidler to, you know, address getting the PPP back, that he was kind of the point person. Now, we haven't had a report from her, but I do know that that was not very long ago that we voted to, you know, let that go forward. So hopefully when Grace comes on the call, she might be able to report on that.
Did somebody just join us?
Grace, I was on for a while, and then I dropped off, and I'm back on.
Oh, welcome, Grace.
Thank you.
Well, Grace,
Donald, do you want to repeat the question? Maybe Grace could respond. I mean, not Donald, Robin. Excuse me.
Yeah, Grace, this is Robin. Didn't you bring John Kreidler on to address getting our CPP funding back? Wasn't that the plan?
Actually, yes. The board passed a resolution to engage his law firm, Garvey Schubert Bearer, to shepherd us through the restoration of our CPB funding. So, yes.
You know, I mean, Donald.
We're just waiting on some key elements. To my knowledge, all stations have community advisory boards, and their meetings have been properly noticed, and there are minutes for the meetings and rosters. And the 2017 audit has been completed, and we're waiting on the 2018 audit and some other reporting issues. Donald, can you possibly read that list of 12 compliance issues?
I'd love to, but they're not in front of me anywhere easily.
Okay.
But that's the point, that there are 12 issues there that have to be met. And the question is, who has hands-on responsibility on a day-to-day basis for making sure we're meeting those? It's not John Kreidler. He's waiting for those to be done so he can hunt you it all through CPB, if I understand this process correctly.
Right.
And it should not be on Grace, because Grace has a million other things to do as the chair of the PNB. There should be somebody on the PNB who's designated as a point person to make sure on a weekly basis these things are moving toward completion.
Yeah.
Sabrina for the stack.
Well, Donald, let me just interject here. It's really, if somebody on the PNB wishes to volunteer to do that, that's one thing, but it's really kind of more like a staff kind of assignment, I believe.
Here's the problem with that. In reality, if you examine our current situation, we don't have staff. We have an ED. And beyond that, we don't have any staff to support the ED to make sure that these things are being done. So de facto, members of the PNB are serving as unpaid staff to make sure certain tasks are being accomplished. And if anybody wishes to challenge that assumption, I'm all ears.
Yeah.
Well, Sabrina for the stack.
I think you're right. Sabrina?
I think you're right as well, Donald, but it could also be a compliance person at each unit that can be responsible for that. That could be delegated by the general managers as a new add-on for whoever on their staff can handle it, in addition to the general manager weighing in, of course, too. They can work together to do that. But I think that can also be handled on the unit, each unit level, each individual unit level. And then have them check in with the strategic planning committee, something to that effect. Have the general managers make that a part of their weekly report, their Wednesday meeting, conference calls.
This is Grace for the Senate.
Go ahead, Grace.
Well, we have two National Office staff members, John L. Mella and Otis McClay. They are the two people in Pacifica who are most familiar with the CPB requirements and most able, I think, to monitor CPB compliance. There may be some things that have to be worked out. For instance, we have to have all the minutes for the national board. They have to be compiled, stored, so that they're easily accessible to the CPB, and probably audits, minutes for the audit committee as well. So those things need to be stored so they're easily retrievable. Outside of that, it's certain. So Otis could be responsible for reporting about proper notice of meetings, things like that. So I have to see the list of 12 things, and then we can figure out. I'm not completely sure what all those 12 elements are. We know we have to complete the audits. I think most people are aware of that, so that has to be tracked down. There are other things like the 990s getting filed and other financial reports and compliance to state and federal agencies. So those are also probably part of those 12, the list of 12 things. So it'd be good to have a list, and we can go down the list and figure out who can monitor each of those things.
Let me ask one question. Yeah, I'll get to you in a second, Donald. Just one question in relation. Isn't one of the requirements that stations have to achieve a certain minimum audience according to ratings in order to qualify for CPB funding?
The CPB does that themselves. We don't know what their criteria is, whether we fall under or over that criteria. That's they adjudicate that. But of course, it would be good if the stations increase their listenership, because if their listenership at any station is too low, that will mean that we won't get CPB funding for that particular station.
Bill for the stack. Right.
Okay, Donald, then Bill.
Yeah, so, so we have paid staff who are, quote, responsible for compliance with CPB regs. Who's supervising them? What I'm trying to get at here is I want somebody on this on a daily basis, so we're expediting this and making sure that all these 12 requirements are moving along. And I haven't heard any report back from anybody, staff or otherwise, that that's happening or what stage it's in. The only thing we know about are the audits and, to a lesser extent, some CAB meetings. But that's it. So if we have if we feel an urgency about this, I want somebody on the PNB who's watching this on a daily and weekly basis, other than having Grace have to do this. I would suggest, for example, Bill might be a good person to monitor it. And if I'm out of line here, let me know so I can save my energy.
Okay, I think Bill was next.
Okay, thanks. Well, thank you for your confidence, Donald, although I'm pretty busy right now with other stuff. But that is important, and I can help, but I'm not sure I'm the right one to do to take care of monitoring all that. Regarding listenership, as Alex mentioned, that's right. I believe KPFK, for example, lost funding, CPB funding, before the other Pacifica stations because their listenership had dropped too low. And I think it's a percentage of the, I guess it's the CUME. I'm not sure which number they want, but they used to require Arbitron ratings, and now I guess it's Nielsen's, but they look at that and they see if it's more than a certain percentage of the total people in the area, I presume. And, you know, WBAI is likely to have dropped below that also. I don't know any of the other stations that have dropped more significantly in listenership. That might be a problem also. So I think Grace is right. We need to find out what the criteria is exactly. And now that we're, I think all the stations except KPFT are getting the Nielsen ratings now, so we need to look at that and see how close we are to meeting CPB's requirement. Or maybe GSB could tell us if we can't find out easily what the number is, what the minimum listenership level is.
Alex?
Yes?
It's Grace. Tamara Swiderski emailed me to let me know that she's on the call. Tamara?
Oh.
You want to say hi to everybody?
Hi, everyone. I couldn't get a word in. I didn't want to interrupt, but I am on the call.
Okay. Hello, Tamara. The reason I wanted to invite you on the call is because we're trying to begin a discussion of a financial recovery plan, and I think our interim CFO should know better than anybody what's involved in developing a financial recovery plan, considering our obligations that are coming due and our ability to finance paying off those obligations. So for the moment, we've been discussing a number of things centering on restoration of CPB funding, and that's certainly a big part of our plans for financial recovery, but it's not the only part of our plans for financial recovery. So I was wondering if you had some ideas about this issue.
About CPB?
About a financial recovery plan.
Well, wait a minute. Can we just finish CPB first?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm still waiting to hear whether somebody on the PNB is willing to assume responsibility to track what's going on. Or is it just going to be left up to Grace to do it? And Grace, do you have any thoughts about it?
I'm looking at the CPB website regarding grants to see if I can find the list you're talking about. Okay, there's a compliance booklet, open meetings, yeah, I see a list here.
I believe John sent a list a couple of months ago.
John Krigler? Who sent a list?
Yeah, I think it was John.
Okay, well, anyway, we can certainly find a list. I'm looking at the, there is a list on the CPB website. It's not a little wordy, but it is here.
Let me just say, I think Donald's suggestion that we have some kind of a point person who's responsible for on kind of a day-to-day basis to see how we're doing as far as CPB compliance in all these 12 areas. I think that's an excellent idea. I don't know if it's realistic to expect a PNB member to do that unless somebody is willing to volunteer. It's in effect, we're doing a staff job, and maybe somebody is available to volunteer to do that, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
I'll just make one more comment and then I'll be quiet. If there's no accountability of anybody to make sure this is getting done, then what are we talking about? Somebody needs to, these staff folks need to be reporting to somebody to tell us the progress they're making or not making. Otherwise, how do we know what we're doing?
Robin to the stack.
Robin, go ahead.
Well, the personnel committee and the PNB are going to be addressing how they're going to manage having an interim ED and how that's all going to be staffed. That's all happening in this next week. So I think there needs to be a little bit of patience for us to meet and talk about this, demanding that we right now appoint a PNB member to do this. Seems a little bit premature.
Does anybody else have any ideas on this, Grace?
I think that a lot of the requirements are being monitored by John and Otis. I'm looking at the requirements. I don't disagree with, I think that they absolutely should be monitored. There should be a checklist. But looking over the list, I don't know how effective it will be to have a PNB member director overseeing it. I don't know. I have to look over this more carefully because there are requirements such as every closed session has to, there has to be a report out of what the closed session did that has to be accessible on the website or whatever. It gives different options and things like that. So it falls in a number of different categories. And it's not all in one place or one thing. But
Grace. So
it would be good. It would be good. I think that we can probably get, though. Donald, do you actually have a list of 12 things? Do you have it in your possession or retrievable quickly?
It's not retrievable quickly because it's on my regular computer, which I'm not in front of. I have to go back into all my emails to see when John was asked about that and his response. What I do remember off the top is that there was a comprehensive list, and what he said was that not only do you have to meet this list, but you have to meet it pretty darn perfectly. That was my recollection. And that means that somebody really needs to be watching this. I mean, I don't think I'm tilting at windmills here, especially if we're looking to really get this money back. So I'll try to find that, you know, in the next 24 hours and send it to this committee.
Maybe what we need is it is quite possible that this is already being monitored, but we're not getting the progress report. So maybe what we need is to get a regular progress report, say once a week or something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure that
reports that are sent to the executive director and shared with the national board. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It would certainly be a start.
we should all be aware. We are, I think most of us are aware of these things. We put them in practice all the time. So, for instance, here's the first thing on the list. Open meetings. Meetings of grantees, board/governing body committees, and CAB meetings must be open to the public, in parenthesis, 47 USC article, blah, blah. In addition, CPB requires grantees to give at least 7 days advance notice of meetings, including the time and place, by 1, posting notice on a station website as defined in Section 9A, et cetera, et cetera. So this is the type of thing on this list. It's a comprehensive list of things that, to a great extent, we are doing. We just have to, and most committees, committee chairs and board members have been complying with this type of thing in particular. Then there's listed here donor information, and there is specific point criteria regarding donor information. So it says here stations are barred from renting contributor names, donor names, or other personally identifiable information, blah, blah, blah. You know, it gives other criteria that we need to ensure is being done or not being done. So, yeah, there are a list of requirements, and we just have to figure out who. Probably many of these are being monitored to some extent by Otis and John, with the exception of the financial information, which I believe we can get reports about from NETA and from Tamara. Perhaps Tamara can give us an update on what's happening with the audits and with financial reporting in general.
Sure. I think probably most of you know that the FY17 audit was just completed. And they're trying to get the 18 done probably within the next month or so. So much quicker turnaround on that one. And so we should be looking at getting the 19 audit done in a normal time frame. That would be much more accepted by CPB and other reporting agencies. As far as financial statements, I actually sent the first set of financial statements, really the P&L, to the Finance Committee over the weekend. So we are getting closer on that, and that was data through February, so the first 5 months of the fiscal year, and we're hoping each month to catch up by a couple of months. So we would be looking at having totally current data probably within the next 4 or 5 months.
Well, that's good news.
As soon as we get a good trial balance to start the FY18 audit, we'll kind of have a better idea where we are with the balance sheet for FY19. So we're making good progress. We just still have a lot of data to sort through.
And that was
Bill for the sec.
Sabrina for the sec. A point of information,
okay.
Actually.
Tamara, what is your point of information?
Tamara, you said that the thank you, Alex. Tamara, you said that the audits will be completely caught up in 4 to 5 months.
So the FY18 audit will be done in probably a month or so, and then looking at the FY19 when that is completed, then we'll be on a more regular. So probably 4 to 5 months after the end of the fiscal year. The audit would be completed.
After the end of the fiscal year. Okay.
Which would be kind of a normal cycle for most companies.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Bill?
Yeah, I forgot to mention it, but yeah, we definitely should coordinate with John Emila and Otis so we don't duplicate what they're doing. And I just sent all of you an email with the links to a couple of requirements documents on the CPB website. They're pretty complicated. There's a lot of specifics.
And part of it is the listenership requirements. But even that's not simple to decipher, but you can look at that when you're curious. But I was going to ask Donald, maybe if you would like to help coordinate this. And it sounds like it might be, we need more than one person if you need to get somebody from each station to help. I don't see any problem with at least anybody trying to help with this stuff. And then I think we need to coordinate it through management, though. But because as you pointed out, management's pretty sparse. We don't have a lot of people. And if we can help, that's fine. But I don't know if you'd be interested in helping with that, or at least doing the coordinating part of it, Donald.
I'm willing to have a conversation with our compliance officers to get a sense of where they are and what they're needing and getting or not getting. I'm also willing to have a conversation with our attorney on this matter to get a complete sense from him of how we can best move this toward the goalposts in an expeditious manner.
Donald, would you be willing to give us a progress report at the next strategic planning committee meeting? And if you feel that other measures need to be taken to get this going, maybe you can bring forward a motion about it if you think that's required.
I can do that. And I also want to bring up one more agenda item in terms of this financial recovery plan, but I'll wait until this is done.
Okay. Does anybody have anything further to say about this particular part of the discussion, which is, I guess, we're concentrating on the CPB funding at this right now? Well, if not, then let's refocus on the other parts of our financial recovery plan, that, you know, everything else besides CPB funding, which of course is a major part of our plan, but again, it's not the only part of it.
Okay, so this is Donald again with the next piece.
Yes, Donald.
Which is, we have interest payments looming in September or October. And what I'd like to suggest is that we both ask stations, and all of our divisions for that matter, what their plan is to come up with monthly, with their share of the monthly interest payments. And my initial recommendation is that stations consider having a 1 day per month special pledge drive to raise their money for that particular month. And that's above and beyond what their central services requirements already are. And if they want to, say, well, we can't do that, then they have to come up with an alternative plan for how they're going to put in their share of the money. But I'm sort of astounded that we're sort of 2 months away from beginning these interest payments, and that no plan for this has been put forward in the previous, 12 or more months from when the loan was given initially, that there's been no real detailed conversation about how to meet these monthly interest payments. And again, correct me if I'm wrong.
Anybody else on the stack?
Bill,
go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I like the idea. You know, I'd emailed the committee something about this, but it was Donald's idea originally, and I think it's good. You know, I think we should allow the management of each station a little bit of flexibility in how to do it, but I think you're on the right track. We need to let each station know they need to be responsible for raising a certain portion of the, at least the interest, and probably more than the interest. We need to start making a little bit of payments on the principal. And, you know, whether it's one fun drive day per month, or some stations might do an extra fun drive day on just the regular fun drives, if that would raise enough money. But we need to come up with around $25,000 a month. And we can't wait, as he was saying, very long to get going on that.
I'll put myself on the stack. We do need to start some initiative. I think instead of each station doing fundraising on some one day a month basis or whatever it is, we've seen in the past that when we have a special national fundraiser, we do very well. I remember we raised something like, I don't remember the details, Bill, maybe you do, but when back in 2017, we had a fundraiser, again, involving paying for audits to be done, and we raised something like $150,000 in 2 days. It was a nationwide fundraiser. Do you remember that one, Bill?
Yeah, we actually raised more than that, and I think it was in 1 day, but it took a few weeks of planning, and we had a matching gift. We got somebody handling the a bequest what somebody had left in their will with discretion on how to spend it, and that person agreed to use it as matching, and so that helped a whole lot. And we were lucky we had at the same time a great potential premium that was that Voices That Changed the World 1,000 plus hours of historic audio from PRA that we had that available to use for the first time. So that may be hard to duplicate, just, you know, especially on short notice, but, you know, I'm open to all kinds of possibilities. In fact, I asked the GMs at that time, how can we raise the money to get the audits paid for? That's what it was for. And they suggested this. And so that was basically they came up with this idea. But we got to do something, and it's going to be, you know, we're talking about around, you know, over $250,000 a year just for the interest. So it's not just a one-time, one-month thing. So it's more, even 1 year of interest is more than what we raised in that special fund drive day 2 years ago for the audits.
This is Grace for this, Jack.
Right. Go ahead, Grace.
Okay, since Tamara is on the call, Tamara, do you have access to specific information? For instance, I'd like to know when the payments are due. When is the first monthly payment due? Is it September?
Yes, September, I believe it's September.
Okay, and
I will try to find out when in September.
Okay, and then the amount is something, I believe, in the range of $23,000 a month. Am I correct?
Yes, so they're paid quarterly. And so I believe that the first payment might be a quarter's worth of interest. But I will verify that, so it would be closer to the 75 number.
Oh, okay. So it's not a monthly payment, it's a quarterly payment.
That's correct.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
And the only thing that I would add to the conversation, as far as kind of increasing the central services or adding to what stations are going to be giving, you know, we have some stations that aren't able to pay their central services now, and that are kind of struggling even to make payroll.
Okay.